find that the problem-solving mode, for me at least, works the best, and I'm glad you touched on a lot of that in terms of some of the presentations.
Great, Joe. Thanks for your comment. Let's take another call.
Tim Knopf in Amherst, New York. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, the positive stress that works and gets me rolling. Oftentimes, when the situation's over, come off it in depression. How do you avoid that depression after that ultimate high?
Kind of reminds me of a novelist who writes the American novel. It's, and when he's finished, it's so exciting, but it's over. Then what?
I think part of it is what Alice was alluding to before, that when you're highly charged, when you're very, very busy and so much is going on, but you're motivated and you want to get it done, you still have to take the time during that period to do some relaxation, to clear your mind, to whatever it is that makes you feel good, exercise, go for a walk, read a book, whatever. Because if you don't, then you're going to end up with those depressed feelings afterwards. You're going to burn yourself out, which is what Bruce was saying earlier, because you can't keep that going for long periods of time without burning out unless you're taking care of yourself along the way.
But I think it's natural to be depressed afterwards. It's like going on a wonderful vacation. You come home and then you feel down and you say to yourself, I had such a great vacation. Well, I don't appreciate it because now I'm feeling depressed. I think it's a very human response. And the way we come out of it is by taking care of ourselves, getting back to baseline, and also having more goals, having more exciting things to look forward to.
So, Alice, what you're trying to say basically is try to accept the fact that you're going to feel a little bit of a letdown after an intense period like that. I think there's also a good way to kind of process every intense period, and that's, maybe you've had this good stretch, Tim, at work, and you feel like, wow, now I'm kind of at a low point. Maybe you can take a time to take stock in what was it that you felt that you did that you really liked. I think that's important to kind of look at the stuff that you really felt good about. And then on the other end, and it's always healthy to look at, favorably on yourself, but also to check, what did I do that I wish I didn't? What didn't I do that I wish I had? Kind of the sins of commission and the sins of omission, for those of you who grew up Catholic.
That's interesting. I know we're approaching, we're at the 1 o'clock hour, but I'd like to take some more calls. So if people want to hang in there for a few more minutes, maybe sure. We can continue this conversation. How's that? Sure. Jennifer, do we have any more calls?
If there are any additional questions, please press the 1 followed by the 4 at this time.
Well, this has been a very interesting discussion as we've really taken a look at the whole process of good stress and bad stress. And then I think one of the other things that we looked at was the importance of taking a look at your personal inventory, so to speak, to really understand how you evolve your own stress and what the triggers are and how your body experiences stress, because sometimes people don't realize they're under stress. And then beyond that, then beginning to develop some of the problem-solving skills and the coping skills to be able to analyze what it is about stress, understand what you're in control of and what you're not in control of. Because I would imagine some of the rat holes is people spinning their wheels trying to get someplace that they really have no control over the situation at all and expending an enormous amount of energy over that.
I do that in traffic. Right. Sorry. I think I'm going to change the traffic.
Well, that's why I think it's so important to check some of what's happening with friends or with professionals. There was a wonderful article in today's Globe on the front page which indicates that a study has been done showing that people who have a support system and who have at least 6 friends have fewer colds. And, I had a chuckle when I read that because we all know that colds are transmitted by viruses. But I think there's something to be said to that when we are supported, when we are troubled or concerned and share that with a friend and do some problem solving with a friend, that we get a new perspective. We feel that we're not alone. We get some new ideas that we might not have thought of ourselves. So I think it's important for us all to think about ways that we can build in that support system. And it's important to think about people who are not only going to yes you, but will also push back on you, as Rob said, people who can say to you, okay, what did you do in that situation that was successful? What did you do in that situation that could have been done differently? Those are the kind of people we need to surround ourselves with. Those are the kind of people who are going to help us meet the challenges in life and make us feel supported and allow us to grow.
So feedback is important.
Very.
Mm-hmm. Another very important concept, too, I think, this could be another whole teleconference, which is the concept of economy of movement, economy of energy, that, you know, we're not talking about someone who we talked before about type A folks that might be driving too hard, might be using up too much energy for something that could be, there could be less energy invested into it. And I think before when Anita was talking about the stress response, one thing that really we haven't spent much time at all on is the fact that sometimes we forget to breathe. And in doing so, we're obviously, or we'll breathe more choppily or from the chest. And when I think about the simple metaphor of helping you have a better economy of energy, when you're breathing from your stomach, that is allowing your abdomen, your stomach to expand outward and let your chest and shoulders stay relaxed, just let your stomach do the work, you're actually not having to exert as much energy than you would if you were breathing from your chest, which forces you to press up against your rib cage and raise your shoulders up so that every time you raise those that extra weight, you're actually exerting more energy than you need to simply to take a breath. And so by simply just paying attention for a moment to how you're breathing, letting your shoulders and jaw loosen up and get real heavy, and then just letting your stomach push out so that your waistband or your belt buckle starts to push outward as you're breathing in, will be a simple way to help you kind of let go of the unnecessary tension in your life.
And this could be the to-do list for all of us today. The first item is breathe in. The second item is breathe out.
That's right.
The third is breathe in. The fourth is breathe out. That's our to-do list.
Certainly a basic life function.
Yeah.
Jennifer, are there any more calls waiting for us?
There are no further questions at this time.
All right. Well, I think that what I heard was, as we talked about control, I'd like to suggest one more thing, and that's maybe another C for commitment, that one of the things that perhaps any of us could do in leaving our discussion today and it is to think about where they could make one or two single commitments around change or to do something different that may help them gain some more control, gain some more insight into their stress and into their situations. In other cases, as we talked about and we finished up, we were talking about feedback. And sometimes people find themselves in the merry-go-round and ask themselves, how do I get off? So I just want to use this as an opportunity to remind people that we've got a variety of services available through Work Life Connections, which is our programs here at Digital, both provided by Work Family Directions and are provided by a variety of our employee assistance professional organizations that we've contracted with. You can call Work Life Connections through a couple of mechanisms. You can reach Work Family Directions through 1-800-635-0606 and talk with a counselor on the phone who can provide a variety of further information and perhaps some coaching around managing stress and a variety of other balancing life activities such as parenting or issues of adoption, or maybe you're struggling with your aging parents and you have some caregiving responsibilities. Work Family Directions maintains a variety of resources and helpful tips that can assist you in gaining some balance in managing those life chores. And of course, if you'd like a face-to-face appointment with a counselor in a confidential way, you can call our EAP services at 1-800-889-4017. And I want to invite everyone to visit our website, which is at hr.imc.das.dec.com, which is through the HR homepage. And that'll bring you right into or allow you to click on to Work Life Connections, where you'll find hundreds of tip sheets and articles on a variety of different life management situations and life balance situations. So we certainly want to invite you to do that. We'd like your evaluation and feedback on the program today. And I think in your packet or off the website, you can pull down our evaluation form, and please send it to us at worklife@mail.deck.com so we can tabulate this and do some better planning around the future. We'd like to know if this format has worked as a means to provide information to you and some good dialogue. And if you have some topics and recommendations, please send them along as well. So it's been our pleasure to be with you. I want to thank Anita and Rob and Alice for their time in joining us for this telecast. Thank you very much.